All right. So we have three kids. Everybody knows that, or most people know that. My oldest actually has just started his internship today. He texted me this morning. He is in a church that has four services. It's a church plant that started 10 years ago. And he says, "Dad, I think I'll be ready for a nap later on this afternoon." And I think he will be too. But I remember when each of them were born. In fact, I remember when each of them were, when Ainsley found out that she was pregnant with each of them. There is an excitement in a young family when they find out that they're about to add to their family. And there is a season of anticipation, excitement, where everybody's just excited for the couple. They're coming around and they're just expressing their congratulations and they're asking when the baby's coming and like all kinds of positive atmosphere. And there is this buildup. It's like the buildup up for Christmas. It just keeps getting more intense until the lady goes into labor. And then when that child is born, there is an excitement in the hospital room, and people come to visit for the 4 hours that the lady is now in the hospital, because it used to be that they would be in there for days, and now they're in there, like, I think it's like a drive-through. You just give birth, and you just go right out. People come to your home, and there's this great excitement that there's new life. New life, this excitement. You've added to the family, and the parents come home with the child, and they are so excited that they have added to the family. But I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that a couple has just given birth to a new child. They've been brought into the family. Everybody's excited. And they would have this perception that they have done their job. They've got the new child into the family. Not just into the family, but they have brought them into their household. And now the child is home. And as the mom goes and sits down on the couch because she's very tired and puts her feet up to trying to rest, just a couple winks, the father informs the child what is about to happen, places that child in the car seat in the middle of the room and says, "Okay, here's the deal. We did our job. We brought you into this family. We brought you home. You are responsible for growing. And so I want to inform you where things are. In the top cupboard is the Enfilac. You are probably going to need a ladder because you're so small. And so the Enfilac is in the cupboard, and that will sustain you for the next little while. And then there will be a point where you will need some pureed food we call Gerbers. And so that's in the cupboard right beside it. And then in a couple of years, you're going to need some more solid food, and that is in our fridge, which is just around the corner over there. Child, good luck." And walks away. Now you and I know this is ridiculous, but just imagine that this took place. And after day one, the parents can't figure it out. This baby is crying and crying and crying and crying. So they leave the baby alone, just like, "Child, you need to stop crying and get something to eat." Day two, child's still crying. I mean, it's really bad, and they're getting frustrated, and so they buy earplugs and cover their ears, and they're just like, "So why won't the child go get something to eat?" Then after day three, the child is not crying as much, and the child looks a little lethargic. And the mom gets a little bit concerned, and she says, "Honey, I think we should take the child to the doctor." And so dad and mom grab the car seat with the new little baby, and they get into the car, and they drive over to the doctor's and place the child in the doctor's office. And the doctor does a little examination. He says, "Well, what's the child been eating?" "Nothing." "Well, what have you tried?" "Tried? Oh, doc. It's not our responsibility to try. It's the child's responsibility. Like, we did our part. We brought the child into the family. We brought the child into the home. It's now the child's responsibility to get his own food." I'm pretty sure that child is not walking out of the doctor's office with the parents. The baby's not going to walk anyways, but that child's not leaving the doctor's office with the parents. We know how facetious this is. This is crazy, crazy story, crazy ideas. But sometimes we think that God's only role in our life as our father is just to get us into the family, just to get us into the house. He died on the cross so that we might be saved. And we think to ourselves, that's what he did for us. That's what he accomplished for us. His goal was to simply make sure that we're part of the family, that we had our ticket into his house. But friends, that's not what a good father does. A good father isn't concerned about you just getting into the family. A good father is concerned about your spiritual growth. You see, a true parent will want their child not just to be in the family, but will want their child to grow, to become all that they've been called to be. And I want to tell you that there are some in the body of Christ who've got no further than the front living room. I'm just going to preach truth today because I've been around the church. I'm not pointing any fingers. But there are some who've got no further than the front living room. They think that all salvation is, all Christianity is simply getting into the family when God's saying, no, I want to grow you and get some fruit into your life. Christianity is about fruit being exposed in your life to this world. And God is at work, and he is trying to grow you. Jesus didn't just die so that you could get into the family. He is constantly at work trying to grow you as a Christian, grow you spiritually. So this morning I want to show you what God does to grow each of us. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, or you can look up at the screen, John chapter 15 verses 1 to 4 says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he goes to the cross. He's talking about their growth. He's talking about how they can keep growing. I mean, it's been great. They've been with him for 3 years and have had a certain level of growth. And he knows he's about to depart, but he wants them to continue to grow. And so Jesus uses this metaphor of the vine, which was so well known in ancient Israel. In fact, the disciples and Jesus had just come from the Last Supper, the upper room where they had the Last Supper, and they would have traveled to the Mount of Olives, and they would have passed the temple. And in those days, the entrance to the temple had a gold vine across it. They would have passed that so many times. They would have gone through that so many times, saw the vine. And so Jesus thinks to himself, I'm going to use something that's so familiar to them to talk about their growth. And Jesus begins to share with them about what God wants to do when it comes to the idea of spiritual growth. So let me point this out. God grows us in three ways. God grows us, first of all, by providing for proximate people. For proximate people. Jesus says he's the vine. He says the Father's the gardener and we are the branches. And in verse 4, and we're going to work our way backwards from verse 4 to verse 1. In verse 4, he says, abide in me. Abide in me. The word abide means to remain present. It's covenant language. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm for you and I want you to be for me. We're in this together. And he goes on, he says, if you're going to grow, you've got to remain in me. You've got to be present. You've got to be present. Now I've got this vine here. It's the best I could find. Thank you, dollar store. I tried, but Ansley's told me how ugly it is, but we're going to use it anyways. This is the vine. Jesus says he is the main vine. And if in this vine there is all kinds of nutrients, there's all kinds of provision, there's all kinds of food that's being passed through the dirt, through the roots, that comes through this vine, and the main shaft of this vine will always provide food for the rest of the branches. Unless the one branch says, hey, you know what? I don't feel like being present anymore. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over here and just kind of do my own thing. And Jesus says, hey, listen, you've got to remain present if you want the food the Father's fixing for you. You got to remain present. You're not going to get any food. This branch over here, it's not present with the rest of the vine. It's not in proximity to the rest of the vine. There's food for the branch. But if the branch is not near the vine, it will never get the food it needs and will begin to die instead of grow. Listen to me for a second. The level of your growth is tied into your proximity to God. Friends, I'm just going to shoot as straight as I can. You cannot grow if you're not close to God. You cannot grow if you're not present, if you're not near God. I don't care what you believe. I don't care how much you give. I don't care where you serve. You are not growing if you don't remain present where the vine is. You've got to be in close proximity to the rest of the vine, to where Jesus is. My boys, when they get home, it drives us nuts. Not them being home doesn't drive us nuts, but their meal plans drive us nuts. And Ainsley will make a meal. There's been a number of times where she makes a meal, and this nice big meal, and then all of a sudden she finds out Bailey's going to his friends, and Brock's over at this person's place, and maybe we'll have Briar home. And so Ainsley and I have this big feast of food that we've just got to eat together. Frustrating. Over the Christmas holidays, there was one day that we were going to have dinner, and we found out that Bailey was going to be going out skiing. And so, okay, that's fine. We had dinner, and he didn't get any. And I think there was leftovers that night. Next day, it was a Saturday. We were out, and we were doing some errands, and it was around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We hadn't eaten anything. We were all getting hungry. And so Ainsley expresses that to me. She says, "Jeff, I'm really hungry. We haven't eaten." Bailey says, "Oh, I'm so starving, Dad. I haven't eaten since 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I had something just before we left for skiing, but I didn't eat any dinner last night. And I didn't have any breakfast this morning. And it's past lunch and I haven't eaten anything. I'm hungry." Now, friends, before you start calling CAS, my son's 21 years old, so it doesn't even count. No, but here's the deal. We provided food, but he didn't choose to remain present. I know it's so simple. But there was food put on the table. There was food prepared for him, but he chose not to remain present. I want to tell you that some of you are experiencing a lack of growth because God is providing food, but you're not coming up to the table. You're not getting close to where he's at. You see, some of us have hit spiritual stuntedness, if that's a word. Your growth is stunted because God's providing the food, but you choose never to get close to the vine. And you're trying to figure out what's going on in my life. When we used to have a moral failure in district office, it was so sad. We would talk about the individual as to how we were going to deal with it. And it was incredible how, no matter whether it was the first district superintendent I worked with or the second one, they would always ask the individual who had had the moral failure the same question. Before you fell, what was your spiritual life like? And the individual would always say, "My spiritual life was non-existent. I stopped praying. I stopped reading the Bible. Worship wasn't part of my life." And you would sit there and you'd be so frustrated because you'd think to yourself, do they not realize that their lack of connection to the vine caused them to become malnourished spiritually, that allowed the enemy to creep in and cause them to die? When you choose never to pray, and I know in our culture, I know the statistics for Canadian society, there are more people who will pray, but it's very short. It's just the quick prayers, especially crisis prayers. But when we choose not to pray, this is what we're saying. I know the provision is in the vine, but I'm going to try to do it myself. I'm going to come over here. And people who don't draw close to the Father in prayer, people who don't take time in their schedule to pray, they find themselves in a spot where they start to get spiritually frustrated. And some of you have walked into this place and you have a hard time even worshiping because it's like God is a distant God. And it's not that he's moved, it's that you've moved. That you have not listened to the words of Jesus, "Remain in me as I remain in you." Stay present. Stay close to the vine. Some of us, reading the Bible is not part of our lives. More Christians pray than they read the Bible. And we find ourselves in crisis because we pull away from God's word. I know it's important. I know that he preserved it over a few thousand years. I know he used all kinds of authors. I know there's supernatural elements to it that would breathe life. I know this is his message to me. But you know what? I think I can do it alone. I'm just so busy. I'm going to keep trying to serve him, still go to church. I haven't given up on my belief in Jesus. But I'm going to try to be over here. And they put themselves away from the vine. God's trying to grow you. He's providing all the nutrients in Jesus, but he can't get to those who aren't close to him. He can't get the food to those that are close to him. There is a great meal at Swiss Chalet right now. Please don't move. But you can't eat it because you're not close. The cooks prepared it, but you can't eat it because you're at 1825 St. Joseph. This is what Jesus is saying. The Father is constantly providing the things that you need to grow spiritually. He is constantly providing the things that you need to grow from the place you've been to the place he wants you to be. But you only can get that food, the stuff that will help you to grow by remaining in the vine. Friends, please listen. Some of you need to look at your schedules and do some adjustment because prayer needs to become part of your life. I promise you this, you're never going to feel God if you don't pray. I promise you, you'll never grow, have the fruit that you need in your life if you don't get into the Word. I promise you that you will be stunted in your growth if you don't worship at home. And if church is just a bi-monthly or once a month thing, and you push away from the fellowship of believers, I'm telling you, you're going to feel it. God's wanting to bring growth to your life, but you have got to remain in the vine. Remaining in the vine is not a mental belief system. It's a place of presence. It's a place of proximity. You have got to be there. You have got to get near the vine. You've got to be tied into Jesus. You've got to listen to his voice. You've got to hear his word. You've got to dive into the scriptures. You've got to make worship part of your daily routine. And for everyone who has pushed away and you go, I don't understand why I'm not growing, it's because there's a disconnection. But here's the promise, is that if you will get back to the vine, the provision's there for proximate people. The provision's there. God's always providing the table. He's always setting the table. That's a good father. He will give you everything you need for growth. Just get back to the vine. Get back to the vine. He provides for proximate people. Secondly, not only does he provide for proximate people, but he cuts away clutter. Bible says, well, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, and so that it will be more fruitful. When it comes to the growth of a vine, there are two conditions that determine the fruit production level. Sometimes the vine would have too few connection points. And when that happened, the branches would grow wild and they would grow very limited fruit. The second condition was when there were too many connection points. And so all the energy would go towards those smaller branches. And this is what Jesus says. I don't know where my scissors went, but this is what Jesus says. He says, sometimes he looks at the vine and he sees you in your life and he realizes that there's so much clutter around your branch that in order to get the fruit that he needs inside of you, he has to cut away some of the clutter. Some of the stuff that's choking things out of your life. He does it in a much more finesse fashion. But he begins to cut away the things that are in your life, the clutter that's choking away the food from getting near you. He begins to cut it away so that that branch where you're at can produce fruit. Friends, listen. Some of us, I know the busy life that we live. Some of us are not growing because we have so much clutter in our lives. It's true. We're so busy. I mean, we got to post on Facebook again. I mean, have you seen the options for Netflix lately? We are so cluttered in our lives that we can't figure out why the food's not getting to us. And every now and then, Jesus comes along and says, I'm going to begin to prune your branch because there's some clutter in your life that's robbing you of what God has for your growth. When I was a teenager, I'll never forget that the purpose of church for me. The purpose of church was probably twofold, maybe three. I knew that God was happy if I showed up. I knew my mom was really happy, and if she was happy, I was happy, because if she wasn't happy, I was not happy. Thirdly, I knew that my friends were going to be there. And the service time, I figured that if I was sitting in the pew, that I could listen. God was happy that I was there because I had checked in. My mom's looking over going, look, my son goes to church, so she's happy. I'm good, so I just kind of started focusing on my friends. What are we going to do after service? You know, hopefully there's an altar call so we can go out to the front and play football while our parents are praying to God. And then we had this Nerf football. We used to toss it around the front of our church in Trinity. And so we would be thinking about that. And as I got a little bit older, I'd be like, okay, what are we going to do afterwards? Where are we going to go after church? And my mind was constantly focused on my friends. And God started to do some work in my life and start to grow me. And I remember as he would grow me, he would sometimes bring me to an altar. I would respond to the altar call, and I'd stay there. And I feel like I need to go, and God says, no, I want you to stay. I didn't really understand why I need to stay longer. I thought there was some great spiritual significance by staying there. But what I think God was actually doing was he was causing me to stay so long that my friends didn't want to wait for me anymore, and that's what he was trying to do, was cut some clutter in my life. And then there were times where the service was done and God would say to me, hey, Jeff, I'm not done with you. I want you to walk home from church. But God, my friends are going out. Yeah, you need me more than you need your friends right now. I'm not removing your friends from you forever, but for tonight, I need you to pull away from your friends. I need to cut some of the clutter away because there's still some things I need to speak to you about. It's not that my friends were evil. It's not that God said, oh my goodness, Jeff's hanging out with a bad crowd. They were good people. They were church people. But they were cluttering out some of the things that God was trying to do in my life. You see, when God comes along and starts to cut things in your life, it's not necessarily evil things, but they're things that are robbing you of the nutrients he's trying to put into you. Things that are distracting you. You see, you may even have a prayer time, but maybe on your drive to work, he's trying to speak to you, but you just keep listening to the radio. Last year, during the week of fast, we had determined what we were doing for a fast. We try to abstain from solid foods for the week. And I always find that it's a good week. My stomach's starving all the time, but I know the purpose of it. I have to prepare myself mentally for a couple weeks ahead of time, going, okay, I'm about to go into a season with no more solid foods. And then I always think about my goal that the last day when it's done, we're going to break our fast with pizza. And I get prepared for it. And so we're working, we're talking about, it was like, okay, Ainsley, what's our first meal going to be when we break the fast? Okay, we're going to have to go buy some juice. We're going to have to fill up the cupboard with some frozen fruit that we can purate so that we can get the juices because we're doing a non-solid fast. And so we're preparing for all that. And I'm like, God, this is hard, but I can do this. And God says to me, hey, I actually want to see some greater growth in your life during this week of fasting. What do you mean? He says, you got some clutter in your life. What clutter? He said, I'd like you to take a break from social media. God, I'm giving up food. Social media? How will I know all the false news stories if I don't go onto Facebook? How will I know about people I don't know's grandkids, what's going on in their world? You want me to get off Facebook? Yeah, and Instagram and Twitter. Three! In fact, Jeff, I just want you to use the internet just to check your emails at work. You mean I can't even check soccer stuff on Google? That's right. Because, Jeff, you seem to be constantly gravitating towards that each day. It's not like you're sinning or anything, but you spend your focus there, and I'd actually like to use that as some time to speak to you. In fact, Jeff, I want a little bit more this year. Okay, God, just get the cross out now. Just nail me to the cross now because I'm doing food and social media. What else do you want? He says, I'd like you to stop watching TV for the week. Do you know about the soccer match that's happening next Saturday? Like, you mean everything but that and the Leaf games, right? But by the way, I don't know if anybody saw the Leaf game last night, but that's another story. All right. And he starts to speak to me about TV, and he says, I want you to cut out TV for just the week. It's not that TV's evil. It's not that Facebook's evil. It's not that Twitter's evil. But God says to me, it's cluttering out some of the things I want to do in your life, and I want to prune right now so that I can see greater growth in your life. Because, Jeff, you need to reflect more. You need to read more. You need to think more about the things I want to say to you. You need to hear my voice more. And so I present it to our family. So this is what I feel. And so We went on that week fast. It was challenging. But I found myself thinking more about the things of God. I found myself hearing from God more. I found myself studying His Word more. I found myself filling my mind and my heart with the things of God. And He began to cut some stuff away that weren't evil, but they were just cluttering out the life that He's trying to get through to my branch. And friends, I want to tell you that God wants to grow some of you by cutting away the clutter that's in your life. It's pretty quiet. I'm going to tell you this, is that some of us need to get off Facebook for a little while. Some of us need to stop watching as much TV as we're watching. Some of us need to maybe pull away from some of the sports we're doing, or maybe on the phone. I don't know, because each of us is different, but it's not necessarily evil things. It's just things that are robbing us from God, because this is what happens. As I talk to people about their spiritual life, and they say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to hear from God, but they have time for Netflix. They have time for the internet. They have time for sports. They have time for families, and they still say that Jesus is their Lord. You're visiting the church going, okay, we got to find another church next week. God's just trying to cut away some clutter so He can do something in your life, so He can grow something fresh. You see, God wants to do something real in your life, something fresh. He wants to produce beautiful fruit. And sometimes we're missing the fruit that He has because the things that the world is seducing us towards are not evil things. They're just clutter. And the Father comes along, the gardener, and He says, oh, Jeff hasn't grown much fruit lately. Look at all the clutter. I'm going to speak to him about some stuff. And this is the problem. God will never force it. But He will say, I want to cut the clutter. And you can push away from the gardener. We need to listen to what the gardener's saying when he speaks to us. Because some of the things that he's trying to cut out is for our own good. The Father will sometimes cut out clutter to bring about growth. And so He'll provide for the proximate people. He'll cut out clutter. And lastly, friends, He will change our circumstances. Look at verse 2. It says, He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. I did a lot of study about this week. I have access to Southeastern University's online periodicals, did some reading of some academic papers, some commentaries, read all kinds of interesting things, and then I took the stuff that made contextual sense. Let me read you some stuff. This word cut off is not the proper translation. It's what we use in the English. But the word that's used in the Greek is actually to lift up, to remove, to take away. It's interesting that Jesus says that the branches, they get removed, they get lifted up. The branches are still connected to the vine. This isn't people who are unsaved anymore. These are people who are still connected to the vine, who at one point were growing and had fruit, but something happened in their life that the fruit stopped growing. And the proper translation is that He would lift them up and move them away. So let me show you what happens. He comes along and He looks at the vine, and He sees this as a branch that's not growing. When the gardener would do that, when the gardener would see that, the reason is because of the great amount of growth, the aeration process wasn't able to get towards the branch. And the gardener would simply come and lift up the branch, remove it from the rest, and place it on a trellis like this. And if the branch was moved away, lifted up, that after a certain period of time, the new circumstance would cause new growth. New growth. Let me point this out. The only way for the new growth to take place is that the branch had to experience change. It had to move from the place it once was to a new place. It's interesting that the branch at one point was able to grow in its circumstances, but the Father came along and realized that as much as the past circumstance had produced growth, it was no longer sufficient for the future and had to change the circumstances. Growth comes in your life through change. I know most of us don't like change, but in every significant thing in our lives, the reason why we've grown is because of change. Each of us were in our mother's womb at some point. It was warm, it was dark, there were no problems, we didn't have to worry about clothes or work or anything like that. But the father knew we couldn't stay in there forever. I mean, what mother wants a 21-year-old man inside of her body? I mean, Ainsley was fine with Bailey. He was a big baby. She was fine with him being in there for 9 months. But have you seen my son? I mean, she doesn't want him still being in her womb. He changes the circumstances and she gives birth. And then Bailey for a season is on milk. And we gave him milk, and then we realized that he's not going to grow any further unless we start to give him formula. So we introduced him to Emflac. And then over a season, we got him off of Emflac, which didn't just grow him physically, it growed him spiritually, because there's nobody who wants to hang out with a 21-year-old who's still on Emflac. And so we moved him over to pureed of food, Gerber's. Then we moved him over to a little bit of mash food, and eventually on to solid food. Change, 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 because change produced growth. You see, mentally, you had to experience some changes to grow. You were fine for a season not saying anything, but then God allowed you to say gaga goo goo. And that was fine for your academic level. Bert, if you had been teaching at the university saying gaga goo goo, you would have been fired. Because you had to grow to something new. And so there came a point where you start to speak language and you had to learn some new things, growth. And then there came a point where you went to school and you knew the basics, and they introduced you to basic numbers and basic colors, and you could identify those numbers, you could identify simple words, you could identify simple colors. But friends, you couldn't stay there. They had to introduce new change, grade one, and it was more difficult. Grade two was more difficult. Grade three was more difficult. You had to start doing algebra and calculus. You had to start taking geography and science because you had to grow mentally, socially. There was a point when it was just you and mom. That was your social network. And the father says, no, that's not good enough. They need to grow socially. Birth takes place, and now you're introduced to dad. He's part of the equation. Maybe some siblings and the immediate home, and that's your friendship group, but mostly mom and dad. But you can't stay there. Change is put in you because you need to grow. And you're introduced to your first friend. I mean, there's no science in this. It's just the first kid who pays attention to you. They're just your friend. And you start hanging out with that friend, and then you get into school, and you start to pick your friends. And as you go through life, your network socially grows. Change, though. Change. You see, we've got to experience change if we're going to grow. We've got to experience change if we're going to grow. But some of us, we're so opposed to change that we don't even want to change our underwear. Why you're sitting by yourself today. I mean it, friends. I know it's uncomfortable, but change produces growth. The gardener comes along and says, I've got to move from this place to this place in order for them to grow. When I used to go into churches to help them out, this is what would happen. We'd have a conversation with the pastor, and I'd say, hey, what's the problem? Our church has stopped growing. Hey, so what do you need to do? Well, we need to change. Okay, so what's the biggest change you need to make? We need to do this. Okay, so do it. No, I introduced it to our people. Our people say they want to grow, but they don't want that. And this is their line. But we've always done it this way. And if it was good before, then it's surely good today. Everybody listen to me for a second. I want every person in this place to hear this. The branch was in a place before that was good enough for its growth. Everything was fine before. It was always good here. If it was good before, it's good for now. But the gardener comes along and says there's no longer growth. Because your circumstance is not always good for the future. Sometimes you've got to move out of what was once working into a new place to get some new life. And friends, I want to tell you that that's why we bring some changes to this church, because we're growing. This church can't keep doing the things it's been doing and keep growing. Change produces growth. And not just the church overall, but God's wanting to bring some change to your life. And some of us are so stuck on the things that we keep doing in our own personal life that there's not been any fruit there for years. And I'm going to say it, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. There are people who've been in church their whole life who are still barely producing fruit. Because we stay in the same spot and refuse to let God bring the change to our life. I'm going to tell you something. You can't grow without change. You can't. You may not like it. You may not prefer it. You may not wish it, but you can't grow without change. Every time God puts change in your life, He's trying to grow you. Every time there's a difficulty, He's trying to grow you. Every time you face something you don't like, He's trying to grow you. The gardener is looking for fruit in your life, not just you being in the family. Not just you being in the family. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. I'm going to end this thing. Every single Sunday, I do the same thing after church. After I greet everybody, usually one of the last people to leave, because I like people, despite what you think through my preaching. I like people. I go to my office and pack up everything, and then I go out to the mail room, and I check in Pastor Sheila's box where the attendance sheet is. And I check, and I look at the number, and if I'm not convinced by the number, I'll recount it in my head just to make myself feel better. And some days I look at the number and I walk out going, hallelujah. Some days I walk out and going, I just need to resign. I never say that, but it's days of glory, days of defeat, it feels like. And then I go home and we have lunch, and then I'll pull up my computer. You can ask Ainsley, this is like routine for me. Pull up my computer. I will pull up the current year's attendance database because I keep track of it. And then I'll pull up every other year since I've been here. And I will check. I'll do it today. I will check today's attendance against last year's attendance on this Sunday. And because I want to know how we're doing. I want to know how we're comparing. And I'll start to ask myself, okay, what was it about today that made it more numbers? Or what was it about today that made it less than last year? And at the end of the year, I'll check out our attendance averages. Last year was our highest attendance in history. And so I've been sitting back going, what has made us grow last year? And I'm constantly looking at the information because, friends, a healthy church grows, and I've got to check the evidence. I've got to check the measurables. It's not enough to say, oh, we had a good service. It felt so good. No, were people added to the body of Christ? Were there new families who came? Did people get saved? Did people get healed? Did God do what took place? Is there growth taking place? Because I've just watched too many churches who just want to have a good service. And they said everything's fine, but they've stayed at the same attendance for years. I checked the measurables. Why do I share that? Because you need to do that with your own life. Friends, what was 2016 like in your life? What new fruit appeared? I'm not asking you how many times you went to church. I'm not asking you about what you gave. I'm asking you, did you grow? Oh, that makes us feel uncomfortable because we have to reflect. Did we read the Bible more? Did we pray more? Did we give more? Did we obey the Holy Spirit's promptings more? Did people come up to us more and say that they saw evidence of God in us? Did we build more relationships with unsaved people? Did we lead more people to Christ? I don't care how good you thought 2016 was spiritually. You have to look at the evidence to see if there's fruit. And friends, I love this congregation. You know I do. But I don't want people just in the family because that's not what God wants. I want people who are bearing fruit. I want people who are growing constantly. You will only grow if you get close to Jesus. You will only grow if He's allowed to cut out stuff in your life that's cluttering you out. And friends, you will only grow if you are willing to respond to the changes He's trying to produce in you in a positive manner. And if you don't respond to those things positively, you can be in the family but not growing. I know person after person over the years of being in church. I've been in church my whole life. There are people I've been with, they've served in high functioning roles in the church. They have attended every week and given every day, but they have produced no more fruit than the newest convert because they've refused to allow change in their life. They've refused to allow God to remove the clutter, and they've been very limited in their connection to the vine. But I've watched young converts explode in their growth because they go after Jesus, because they allow Him to cut away the clutter. Because, friends, every time the Father comes and says, I want to change something, they go, just change whatever you need, Father. You're my Lord. You see, friends, God wants to grow you. Would you stand with me this morning? God at work. God is trying to grow you as a Christian. I want you just to stand there just for a moment and just ask yourself, can I identify some new fruit? Maybe you need to have the conversation with your spouse and say, are you seeing new fruit in my life? You need to stand there just for a second and say, am I getting closer to Jesus, or am I just kind of where I was last year? Am I hearing more? Are people seeing the fruit in my life? As you reflect on that in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come just for a couple moments. No one's going to pray for you. I'm going to invite you to come and just say, God, this is a year I need to grow. I need you to do whatever it takes. I need to get closer. I need you to cut away some clutter. I need you to bring change in my life. Put me on a trellis. In a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this place, you say, Pastor, I'm hearing about a father who wants me to grow and who loves me incredibly, but I've never given my life to Jesus. But if you can trust him, preacher, then I can trust him too. And I want to give my life to him so he would be in charge. If that's you today, no one's looking, just you and me. I just want you to raise your hand just very quickly. Just say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody in here today? As I spoke this message, God spoke to you. You know you're in the family. You know you've been part of the vine. The question is, has the fruit been there? Has there been new fruit? And God's speaking to you, and you're saying, today I just need God to do some fresh stuff in me so there's new fruit. If God's speaking to you, you want to make a fresh commitment, not a salvation commitment, but a fresh commitment to allow him to be at work, allowing the gardener to be at work inside of you. I'm going to ask you to slip out of your pew just for a few moments. Just find a spot at the altar. Say, God, today I want you to grow me. Today I want you to do some, put some new fruit in me. Come on, all across this place, there are people stepping out right now. Ask him to provide fresh food that you would remain. Ask him to cut away some clutter that's been getting in the way. Ask him to allow you to respond to the changes he's trying to bring in your life so that you can grow. Just call out to him and say, let this be a year of growth in my life. Let there be new fruit in my life. Let people be able to see it in my life. Let there be a change inside of me that will allow me to grow to be what God's called me to be. Just call out to him right now. I thank you so much for this congregation. I thank you for all the growth that you've produced in people's lives over the years. I'm asking, God, I'm asking today that you would just continue to grow us. Allow us to get in close proximity to you, God. Allow us to get close to you, to go after you in prayer, to read your word, to worship you, to listen to your voice. Allow your scissors to come to our lives, to cut away clutter that may not be evil, but it's getting in the way of the growth that needs to take place. Finally, I'm asking, God, that you would allow us to respond to change positively, the changes in our life, the changes in our circumstances, the changes in our environment. You want to grow us. Help us to respond properly and grab hold of your hand. You want to put us on the trellis. I pray that there be new fruit this year. Let 2017 be a year of growth. Let it be a year of new fruit. Bless this congregation, I pray, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everyone.